Right, so the Gemara says, we just finished on Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, the top, with the daughter of the Kesar, that she answered him, he wanted to know, how do you know Tchias HaMesim, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, and she said, I'll answer for him, and she explained that, you know, Madach, if you're able to create something from a muscle, if you have someone who's a craftsman, and he could create something without, you know, from water, and someone could create something from afar, so which is a bigger deal? If someone could create something from water, it's a much bigger chiddush. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create something from nothing, for sure, after we get buried, after 120 years, and Mashiach will come, and Tchias HaMesim will come, he'll be able to create Tchias HaMesim and bring us back to the afar. Okay, that's where we ended off. And that's to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. The Beir Rabbi Shmuel Tana. He has another way to understand this concept, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and Hashem will also do Tchias HaMesim. I'm sorry, that Hashem will be able to bring back the Mason to life. The Beir Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Kavachoymim Kli Yischuchis. It's a kalvachoyim from kli schuches, from a glass keli. The mark kli schuches shamolan beruach basar v'dam nishbu yeshlam takana. So if you have a piece of glass, how is it made? Glass, it's interesting. I don't know if any of you ever went to Corning in upstate New York, or by Corning. I was there 2 summers ago with my family, happens to be. And what they do is it's where they make. It's a glass factory. It's 2, 3, 4, 5 blocks long, and a few flights, you know, a few levels. And you always think, like, what could be in a glass factory? It's an amazing, the most fascinating tour. It's just an amazing tour. Not that I'm not pushing. Everybody should stay here. No reason to go to America for anything. There must be someplace in Eretz Yisrael that does it. But they show you how to make glass. And they make all the fancy glasses, and they make the different shapes of glass, how they boil it up to a tremendous heat that it's a liquid. And then they blow through a tube, and they make it, by blowing, it's like blowing a bubble out of hot glass, then they quickly stick it into cold water, and they can make different colors, and they can make different shades, and it can be thick in one place and thin in another place, depending on how hard you blow it. You blow a balloon up, same thing. You blow it this way, part of the balloon is stretched thin, part of it is thick. It's really a fascinating thing. It's a pity you have to bring your kids with you, because then you get sidetracked, you don't get to pay enough attention. But the Maisa, it's a tremendous chachma. But glass is made through blowing. The shape of it, the size of it, the more you blow, the thinner it is. And when you drop it in and it comes back out, you can have a thin sheet of glass. And the way they make the molds and the shapes of the flowers and everything, it's an amazing thing. But what they gave to the Gemara is that the Gemara shows us that a bus of a dumb makes the glass by blowing. If it breaks, you got to melt it back down. You can make it again, doing the same exact process. And that's what's called recycling. And that's how they do it. That's what it is. You know, Lamaisa, the heat intensity that they use is so hot that it kills any bacteria in anything. That's how the cleansing process gets. At the same time as they reuse the glass, that's how they do it. So Lamaisa, at least that's what my understanding of it is. So it comes out that if Madach, a man, who could blow glass when a brace could be blowing. So a person, Bas of Adam, Shev Veru, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Kama Kama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayibach Ba'ap of Nishma Eschayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew into us in Neshama. So Kol Shekain, if after 120 years, when the person is dead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do Tchias HaMesim and bring the person back. So Kal V'Chayim from Kli Shchuchis, to accomplish that same goal. The goal is, we want to know, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do Tchias HaMesim? So we see from here that if Madach HaBas of Adam could do this and this and this, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make the Bas of Adam, definitely could do it. It's a Kal V'Chayim. You understand what a Kal V'Chayim is? the kal is learned out, and you have the chaimer. You could learn out if madach, this could work. The bas of dam could do this. So what can make the bas of dam could definitely do it. Now, that's the end of that gemara. Now the gemara goes back to a conversation with another min, another apikurus. Now, just off the record, I'm on the record. I noticed on Shabbos, someone showed me, one of my children, that the Brichas Avraham, he has a few pieces on this parak. And he pointed out over there, if I saw it correctly, that these minim that we're dealing with are goyim. Because if they were yidden, you don't even bother. Because obviously they're just doing it sanctifiably. So this concept of Dam HaShetazel HaBikoyris, it seems like, at least from the Birchas Avraham, again, I saw it, it was during Mincha, I wasn't focused, but there's an afkamina between whether the Apikurus is a Yid or the Apikurus is a Goy.
And would you be able to teach a Goy all this stuff?
It's not teaching the Goy the Torah, it's answering him up when he's coming to slug you up. He's a missionary. He's coming to tell you why you should go follow, you know, some baseball bat. Bow down to that. And instead, he's using it to say, hey, you one of the things that you say that you could, that he could bring people back to life, prove it to them. So what you do by proving it to the person is that you take care of, you know, it's interesting that there is a concept of sometimes we don't deal with the goyim at all. Sometimes, however, there is the concept of, you saw in the Gemara many, many times when Amorim had debates. Real debates. Akiva and this one had debates, you know, the famous debate with the guy who was able to bring him back to make him blind, and you know that story. With the guy who claimed he was blind, and he was able to bring, this guy was, through his gods, were able to bring the guy back eyesight. I think it was Akiva, one of the Amoraim said, no, it's not possible. And they had this big debate, and he's going to prove it. And the guy, he looks and he can't see, and then he does his abracadabra and the guy starts seeing. So Akiva goes over to him and he asks him if he was able to see. So the guy who was blind from when he was born takes a red handkerchief and he shows it to him. And he says, what color is it? And the guy says, it's red. See, I could see. He said, yeah, but if you were really blind, you never would have known what red was. And that was how he slugged him up. You know, like, you saw there is such a kind of, you know, the Rashi in Chukas, interesting Rashi, just comes to mind, where it says over there, this Chukas HaTorah. Rashi says, what's Pshat in a Chayk? A Chayk is something that doesn't have a reason. Now why would it be necessary to have something that doesn't have a reason? Why is it necessary? So Rashi says, Fisha, Ha'umas Ha'olam, Mo'inin Es Yisrael. The Umish HaOlam, the Goyim, Moinin Es Yisrael, and there was a Matam Lazer. They would ridicule. The word Moinin is a lotion of ridicule. Now it's interesting that you should start if you enter words in Hebrew. The word Moinin, where does the word Moinin come from to mean ridicule? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asked the Shiloh. He wants to know, this is not what I was going to say, it's a little aside thing, just popping in. What?
Maybe like min.
Min, oh, so very interesting that you say that. But you have a good point. That min itself might be coming from the concept of ridicule. But just I'll read it to you. Fisha satan the umus ha'olon. The satan and the goyish nations. Moinin et yisrael. Loimar, they ridiculed Klaishel saying, ma'a mitzvah zeishu, ma'a tam yesh bo. Fika kodabach kuka. It's a gzeiro, you can't ask any questions. Paraduma. Makes absolutely no sense. Takes a mansion from this red cow and sprinkle it on and boom. It's a chay. We don't have to understand it. We're not going to understand it. But Lamaisa says Rashi, the reason why, what was the purpose of chukim? Was in order, so you might ask Akasha, who cares what they're going to say? Right? Obviously, Rashi is showing us, no, it's not the question. If we're able to avoid the confrontation, avoid it. That means care if there's an option. If there's no alternative, okay, so what are you going to do? But you see, clearly from the Pasuk in Chumash, the Rashi is saying that why is it Chukas HaTorah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so we shouldn't have to put up with the Nairish Katan from the nations. Okay? Now, just as a side point, so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky wants to know where the word Moinin comes from. It has nothing to do with Sanhedrin. Except if you just said Min, could be that's a connection. But just I'll tell it to you, it popped into my head. So Rabbi Yaakov wants to say from Loisenu Ish Ba'amisa. It's a pasuk, Loisenu Ish. That means the person shouldn't ridicule his friend. So Loisenu is a lashon of Einai, which is a lashon of Moinin as Yisrael. Okay, that's what he wants to say. My brother, my older brother, 25 years ago actually, showed me that there's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So Rabbi Yaakov was actually talking about a pasuk in Chumash. So that's the only word. You don't find anywhere else in Chumash the word of Moinin. It doesn't exist. The only time you find it is Loisenu, you have to make that jump from Loisenu Ish to Moinin Es Yisrael. But my brother mentioned to me, he's a big Baal Kore, so he knows these things by heart. In the Haftarah for Ekev, in Yeshaya, it says, V'achalti es Moinayich es Besorich, that I will eat the skin, the flesh of those who ridicule me. The word Moinayich is written clearly, Moinin. Okay, so you see that obviously a Navi is such a word, but obviously Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was trying to find some apostle in Chumash. Okay, but back to what we were saying, you see that there is that concept where you do worry about the Goyim to a certain extent. You know, recently the Arzota Bridge, they commemorated their July 4th holiday. And Rav Avigdor Milzichon was very mocked to hang out his American flag. And to tell everybody to hang out their American flag. As a curse of Toyev to the Medina. Because you have to deal with the Goyim. We live in Golos. It's time when Bezdin is the last word and we don't live in Golos, so then you don't have to reckon with them. But now we're under their rule. There's a concept of Dina de Machusadina. There is that concept. The problem is when people forget about it and they start running with their own rules, and then Dina Machusa comes and cracks down, and suddenly a lot of people that need to go hide someplace. Because there is that concept of Dina de Machusa. And Rabbi Victor Miller is very mocked on it. He says, you eat kosher? Yeah, you keep Shabbos? Tarech HaMashpacha? Well, it's the same Torah that says Dina de Machusa Dina. You gotta keep that too. You can't play games. And the Maestro, there is that concept of worrying about the Umayyad. Just as a sidebar.
For you, you're teaching him about this case amazing.
It's not really teaching him, it's quieting him down when it comes with his ridicule. So you see that if not for that, it would be a chayk, we would have to answer up for ourselves. Rashi is showing us over there that, oh, it is a chayk. This we don't have to answer up. But something that's not a chayk, that has a reason, that has a proof, if a guy is going to come and ridicule, we should answer up for ourselves. That's what you see a deek from that Rashi. That's what I'm showing you, that Rashi shows us that there is the need to not stick up for ourselves, but stick up for what's right. I got that sticking up for ourselves. But there is that concept, by chukim not. Rashi says clearly. But you see from that Rashi one thing clearly. According to you, that Rashi wouldn't be superfluous. Don't deal with the guy, who cares? From that Rashi we see that it's chukim bedavka, so that we shouldn't have to deal with the goyim. Mashma, if it wasn't a chayk, we would have to deal with the goyim, and we find there were constantly debates throughout the history of Klal Yisrael, where Big Gedolim went and debated the goyim keseder.
They were more forced. I understood it that they were more forced. They couldn't get out of it.
It could be. It could be you're right. It could be that has a lot to do with Bakarcha. But Lamaisa, you know, you don't know the settings over here. That maybe they'll tell me them around, and they would have been convinced by this Min's argument and said, you know something? Okay, I'll go that way. You don't know.
And then so a few minutes ago, I thought they were Jewish meaning. So
yeah, I also did. I don't know if you have a Brichas Avraham. I don't think you have a Brichas Avraham in Sanhedrin. But Belinda, I'll bring it in next, on Wednesday. But the Brichas Avraham says something along those lines. I wasn't Ma'ayin, it was during davening. But I noticed that he made a nafka mina. That I did. So I'm just pointing out to you that there is some nafka mina. What the nafka mina is, I haven't figured it out yet because I wasn't ma'ayin enough in the Brachas Avraham. Just time to point it out. So now the Gemara continues now and says, "Amalei Amina Lerev Ami Amisu Shichvi Chaye. You say that the people that are dead will come back alive. For Avi Afra, but then they're buried in dirt. For Afra Mika Chaye, and could dirt come back alive? Dirt can't come back alive. So Malay, he answered him back, Emshel Chamashel Amar Davidema. I'm going to tell you a mashal. The Melech Basav Adam to a king, Sha'amal Avodah. He tells his servants, Lachu Ubanulai, Banuli Paltrin, Gedolim, build me these big palaces, Mokim Shei Mayim Ba'afar, in a place where there's no water or dirt. Halchu Ubanulai Shei, the Avodah went and they built it. The Yamim, after some days, Naflu, it fell down. Amar Lahem said, the king said, Chazu Ubanulai Shei, B'mokim Shei Yesh Avomai. He says, so now go build it in a location where there is water and dirt. So they, Avadim said, we're not capable of doing that. So the king got angry. Where there was no water and no dirt, there you were able to do the building. So now you surely should be able to do it. It's like a no-brainer. So Mela, we see from here the concept of being able to build such a thing. Now, you're shaking your head.
I don't know what we're adding in all these examples.
Huh?
I don't know what we're adding. I don't know why the Gemara is bringing these.
Oh, examples. So let's see. The Gemara didn't fear us yet. Let's do another three lines. If you don't want to believe, if let's say you still want to be skeptical, say lebiko, go out to the valley. You'll see a squirrel of some sort that's half basar and half dirt. Mamachar, it's a kind of animal which is reproduced from the dirt itself. You see that such a concept that it can come from dirt and turn into a squirrel, some sort of animal. It comes from the dirt, it gets part of its reproductive ability comes from that, this particular animal. So you see from there the concept that, oh, if it could happen by this achbar, so why shouldn't it be able to happen by Tchias HaMeisim? Now, Shema Toyma L'Zman Meruba, and you might think, hey, but it could take a week, it could take 2 weeks, Rashi says, until the whole body of this squirrel develops. How do you know that Tchias HaMeisim could happen on a dime? Allah Lahar, go up to the mountain, and you'll see. There's only one chalazin. This is this little worm that comes from the fish that makes the tchelis in tzitzis. And a chalazin echad, the macha yerdu shem will rain, and it's smali kula chalazinis. And this would happen every, whatever, what, 50 years, whenever the chalazinis came. So it would rain, and suddenly the whole mountain would be filled with it. So what do we see from here? We see that overnight, in a matter of a few seconds, you're able to go from one to a full mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. That's what we see from that Maisha. So therefore, what we're bringing out from over here in this story is we're being Moisef legging to one extra Nekuda L'Chaira, the concept of don't, and it happens immediately. In other words, until now, maybe if I would have stopped the guy in the street, had the transformation work, we might think, hey, you know, it's a process. First, the guy gets the neshama, and then back, and then maybe his body, which had decomposed, starts growing again. And after 2 months' time, just like, how is a baby born? You think it's like this? No, it takes 9 months. From conception to birth is 9 months. Hey, why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just do it in 10 seconds? The Svarim Rav Miller speaks about it for days, weeks. What? But the concept that Etzev could have been, and then the baby could have been created in a second too. The Etzev wasn't in the need of the development of the child, it was the punishment for the mother. But the point is, there's a reason why they have to be like that. Because Baruch Hu has it, that the body gets accustomed to it slowly, the whole tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can you imagine? A lady, okay, why does it kill us? One day everything's fine, the next day they're 9 months pregnant, boom, and they walk around like that for 9 months. No, Hashem made it that the first 4 or 5 months they're just growing up, but they're surviving. it just gets complicated at the end. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of chesed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Olam chesed yibaneh. But Lamaisa, there is that concept that we would think, hey, you know something, and yeah, it happens. But it's a slow process. It happens over 3 months, over 6 months, nothing. We see now, they get up, and in 2 seconds, they're done. That's something we didn't see from the last Gemara. So that will calm you down a little bit. It will calm me down. I also was wondering, but sometimes you should just know that once you get into the topic, so we'll talk about all of the meaning, because each Amoyu that answered the Gemara had his slant, came from his raya, his pasuk, his angle. Each angle is moisif a little makuda. So mele, therefore, it's not so shrek. But lemaisa over here, there is that extra limud that we see that it's not a process that takes months and months and months. It happens right away. Okay? Now, just on this point, I want to just go for a second to a nakuda, which we could take away a little bit of an idea here. A tremendous limud in general, in under Havana, in chinuch, in the way we noig with our talmidim, the way we noig with our children, the way we noig with our colleagues, in the world in general. We can take from this Gemara a little bit of an understanding that this concept of offer, take the concept of offer. A person is buried by offer, and the Gemara is proving that this offer comes back. Now, without getting into the Kabbalah, I'm not a Kabbalah guy, I don't understand the niggle, forget about the nista, but just a basic concept. A person is made up of the guf and the neshama, that we know. A person has his guf tendencies, the things that his physical needs and the things that are physically attracting to him. And then he has the neshama, the things that spiritually are his needs and the things that are spiritually attracting to him. That's what every human being is made up of, the guf and the neshama. Now we know our job in this world is to let the neshama drive the bus. It's the people who get caught up with the guf and they think the neshama is just coming along for the ride are really being busy with the tefel and they're forgetting about the ikar. Now it's an interesting thing I want to share with you just to show you how careful we really have to be, and then how it will make an aftermina in our anhoga in general. Shlomo HaMelech, we know, was the greatest chacham. Okay? And it's interesting to note that in Malachim, it says over here in Perek Gimel that he had a dream. Shlomo had a dream. It says, "Begiboin nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom." In Giboin, Shlomo had a dream. Chalom alayla. It was at night, and he had a dream. "Vayim elikim she'al ma etin lach." Now we would love to get this request. Hashem said to him, "Okay, ask for anything you want. What do you want me to give you?" So Shlomo HaMelech answered, "Vayim Shlomo ata sisa." You did tremendous chesed with my father David. And he goes on to discuss about how I was put in this place now to take over. Now I'm taking over. I'm skipping some words just for time purposes. Now I'm your Eved. Me, Shlomo HaMelech, is now I have to fill the shoes of David HaMelech. My father. What? But anochi nar katan. I'm a little kid. Why ate that face of vavoy? I don't know where I'm coming or going. I don't know where I'm coming or going. I don't know. I don't know anything. Now, it's interesting, first of all, to note that most of us, I mean, we sometimes think we know exactly where we're going. When people try telling us what to do, we get annoyed. So HaMelech understood what he knew and what he didn't know. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him in a dream and said, "What can I do for you?" So he said, "Look, I'm a little kid, and I really don't. I'm in a situation now, way above my pay grade. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. I need help." That's what he was saying. He says, "I'm I'm Rabbi Shalimon of Yisrof Miroyev. There's so much going on. I'm not tuned into. So give me chachma, understanding that I should understand the difference between tov and ra. Who could judge such a big nation, heavy nation like this? Basically, he asked the Baruch of a chachma. Now, when Hashem offered him the choice, Hashem offered him anything he would have asked for, Hashem would have given. So what happened? Hashem was so happy that Shlomo asked for this. Since you asked for chachma, you didn't ask to live a whole life. You didn't ask for a lot of money. You didn't ask for this and that and 100 other things. And what did you ask for? For chachma, just to understand how to judge. The Mela therefore said that because it's Baruch Hu. I'm going to give you Oisha, I'm going to give you Kavoid. I'll give you a Chachma that you wanted, that before you there was none. He basically he hit the jackpot. He scored big, and then later in Perek Hey, so you see, Tak, at the end of Perek Hey, where Akash Baruch Hu says, Hashem, it says over there, Hashem nosan chachma l'shloima. Hashem gave chachma kasher dibe loy, like he said he would. And Rabbi Leib Chasman, the Oryal, that's the Rebbe from Shalom Shadron's Rebbe. So he has a question, a very interesting question, which I'm sure you're thinking. He says, any one of us, if Hashem had come to us in a dream, and we would get to see exactly what's doing in the next world. We see just how little money is worth. We see how little covet is worth. We see just how little everything that's important in Olam Hazeh, how little it's really worth in the next world. And then we'll take a look and we see Chachma, and we see how that is the most important thing to have. Which one of us, given a choice by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to choose, wouldn't choose Chachma? Yes, everybody would do that. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so impressed that Shlomo HaMelech picked Chochma, that what was his reward? He got everything. To us, it would be seemingly a no-brainer to take Chochma. So why was it so special that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know something, since you picked it, you're going to get it. And you're going to get everything else too. That means there must have been a cheshbon that it was in a sayon, it was a temptation for Shlomo HaMelech to not choose this stuff. Why? It doesn't make any sense. Ilu yitzuya adam shabala el ma'emes. If a person would get to see, and we see exactly what everything is worth, ma'shavin minyana el ma'zeh, and we're given a choice, yivchal atzma imam reitze. Would anybody think to pick anything else? From Cain, Nispella, Alain Azeh. This Pikim Arpella. Frequently, Chasman, what's going on? He has a Gavaldic Akashay. He wants to understand it. So he answers, Yesoy Gadol. He says, that we see from here that what is the koyach of offer min ha'adama? This offer that we're made by, this tipa srucha that we were created by, and the offer that we're going to be created by afterwards for tchias ha'meishim, sha'av chokham gadol g'shloima ha'melech. Even a chokham like Shloima ha'melech, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, mo'etein lach, yuchol ha'yoyshe yivakesh oyshe oydova achizulas chokhma. Even a chokham like him could have asked for riches and other inyanim. Why? Because Kol Zman Shehu Mekushe Al Gufo, he's attached. He's not living just in a shama. He is attached. We are attached. We have physical needs that we need. things that we look forward to, we aspire to achieve in the physical world. It's a very big part of us. The problem is that sometimes we make it the ikka part. And even by Shlomo HaMelech, it was a havamina that Shlomo HaMelech would want to choose that. And that's why when he chose Chochma, that was the Gemara Chesed that Hashem said, oh, I see that you went and you're willing to forego all of the things you have just for Chochma. That shows me that you deserve all of it. It's a tremendous thing that we see from here. Because the fact that we're connected to our guf, that we need so many things, it's very hard to let the seichel run the show. It's very hard to let the neshama run it. And we see from here that even by Shlomo HaMelech, there was such a tzad by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So having understood this, now that we understand this, let's take it one step further and understand in chinuch how we should view things that are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus things that are really for us. And this is a fundamental, one of the most fundamental principles I've learned in my days. I heard it from Reuven Feinstein, and it's a tremendous message. Anybody who has children, anybody who's trying to be mechanech their kids, really need to know this yesod, I think. We find in the Chumash something unique by Adam HaRishon, and we find in the Chumash something unique by the Chet HaEgel. And seemingly, there's a contradiction. If you look in the very, very beginning, in the beginning of the parasha of Adam HaRishon, Adam HaRishon ended up eating from the Eitz HaDaas, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what did you do? He did what a lot of us sometimes do. Isha Hashem Asati Modi. It's the lady's fault. He blamed it on Chav. If you take a look over there, Chazal say Adam HaRishon was mourned by Hashem for being a kafri toif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Chava for him. The Midrashim say that Adam HaRishon tried with animals, with trees, with everything. Nothing was satisfying to him until Esau Ezer Kenegdoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally said, okay, I'll make a wife for you. It was all created, Chava was created. If Hashem wanted to procreate, he could have had it come out of a piece of wood, if Hashem wanted. The nest of procreation is such a nest that we can't understand and fathom, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, it could have came out of a light bulb. It all makes the same no sense to us. It was created, Chava was created purely for Adam HaRishon. And therefore, Adam HaRishon went and had a Taina, Yisha, Shenasati, Madi. So, oh, really? He said that you're kafri tais. Frekta Ruvain, by the eagle. What happened by the eagle? Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with Rechush Gadol, right? We went out with tremendous riches. And then they used it in the eagle. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, who asked you to give us all this money? If we wouldn't have had this money, it wouldn't have happened. And over there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's moided to him and says, yeah, you're right. And he's not mourned for Kavit Ayiv. Director Bruin finds in a Shiloh. What's going on? Why is it by Adam HaRishon he's mourned for Kavit Ayiv? And over here he's not mourned for Kavit Ayiv. So Bruin says in Gavaldik Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us. If Hashem wanted Klal Yisrael to be rich, Hashem could have taken all of Mitzrayim's riches, deposited it in Eretz Canaan and Eretz Yisrael, and when we got there, it would have been waiting for us. Why did we have to schlep it around for 40 years? Everybody had to get a hernia carrying all the bundles of gold and silver. Because Baruch Hu gave a brisbane of Sarami, a covenant, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. He said that, yes, you're going to go down to Mitzrayim, but I'm going to take them out, and they're going to, when they leave, they're going to go out, and they're going to have Rechush Gadol, they're going to be rich when they leave. So Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to be Mekayim in my promise. So do me a favor, Kaviyachu, and take the gold and silver, Sha'olim Mishkant, and go to the neighbors and borrow from them the Klechesav, Klechesav. and take stuff from the Mitzrayim so that I could go back to the Avos and say, look, I kept my promise. I kept my word. So why was Klal Yisrael carrying the gold and silver? Because Klal Yisrael wanted the gold and silver? Or because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that they should be carrying it so that he could say to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I kept my word? Says Reuven, it was so that he could keep his word. So Rabbi Zayi, then there's no mukim for him to mon kafi taif. Because Klal Yisrael wasn't done for them. We were nenef from the riches. But that's not the, that was the outcome. Why were we given it? So that Hashem could be mekayim his avtacha. So we see from there, says Reuven, finally says, Klal Yisrael, you could have the same thing. It's given to you for one reason. It's a big tiny of kafi taif. Given to you for a different reason, it's not a tiny kafi taif at all. It's an amazing distinction. He says, that same thing is applicable in our daily lives all the time. There's so many things we do daily in our that are we doing it for us? We're doing it for our kids. We're doing it for us, or we're doing it for the people who dive in our shoe. We have all the time we do things, and we have to realize that slight difference in cheshbon will make the whole entire binyan different. That sometimes it's a real good cheshbon, and sometimes it has a lot of negius involved. Sometimes it's going to be doicha a few other things, it pushes away things, and sometimes not. What I'm giving over from here is that Chachma is what's needed to understand this. To understand, we have to stop for a few seconds and think. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us das to understand what is really the cheshbon. You know, when what are we doing? I mean, it's just a small mashal. It made me stop and think today. My daughters have time on their hands. I said I wanted to go there and there and go swimming. Now, they didn't want to go. So, for a few seconds, I got a little annoyed. Then I realized, you know something? They don't have to go. Was I telling them to go? Said it for me. I gave them something what to do. So now I'm putter. I don't have to entertain them. I did it. What was I doing for them? And I thought about it afterwards. Sometimes it's just the way you say something. If I would have said it maybe a drop differently, they might have gotten their babies and went. It's when I said it so that it had a little of the overtone of, okay, phew, I thought of an idea, now I'm putter, right away, so then they weren't interested in it anymore. It's the way you say something could sometimes have an outcome that's totally different than, and obviously what we do. So when we're discussing this concept of the guf and the neshama, like we discussed tonight, that we're going to be tuned in, we want to make sure that our neshama is the ikka. Of course we need to eat. Of course we need to do, we make a parnasa for our family. Of course we need to do all these things. But all of these things are only so that we could continue to feed our neshama, Torah, Ma'asim Tovim, Mitzvos, Tefillah. All of everything we're doing is just to serve the neshama, so then we know that we're on the right track. If on the other hand, it's the other way around. We're serving our needs, and we let the neshama come along for the ride, so that's when we have a problem. And what ends up happening is that we end up falling apart. We end up sometimes, a lot of times, is letting the neshama come along for the ride, and we put him in the trunk. We barely rechem with it. And there's so many times that we do that on a regular basis. So we see from Leib Chasman over here that you need Chochmah of Shleim HaMelech to differentiate, to make sure that our Maisa, our Achshavis, everything we do is to serve our Neshama. We eat to have Karchis, to go to work, to make Panasah, to bring up our family, to serve our Neshama, to learn Torah. Everything we're doing is with that purpose in mind. And if we do that, so then everything else has much more Atzlacha as well. Shkoch.
So at what stage of his life Shlomo Melech had this dream?
Huh?
At what stage of his life he had this dream?
He had just become king. He called himself a Nar Cotton. So a Nar Cotton, so he said he became a king at 12, he said.
Justin 12, now is 12.
So it means that he still has